Well, brethren, we have just observed some remarkable moments in the plan of God in the Holy Day season. Each year we go through this Holy Day cycle, and now it has begun once again. We rehearse these lessons year after year, and they become more meaningful to us as we keep them. You know, I think many of us have already realized that the weekly cycle of this week and the way the holy days are falling is the same as it would have been in the week that Jesus Christ was crucified, and the week that he was betrayed, and the week that he had his last Passover. We are going through that same timeline, and therefore tomorrow looks forward to the wave sheaf offering day, and we know what that means. That was the day that he, after his resurrection, ascended to the Father. So that takes place tomorrow in the scheme of things. As we go back through these days, brethren, year by year, our understanding increases, and you really should be able to look back over the years that you've been keeping this feast and see that understanding growing in you. What a blessing it is to be able to keep these holy days again this year, and considering the situation that we're in right now, we don't know what the rest of this year will bring. 6 months from now, God willing, we will be celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles, and about this time, we'll be having the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles. In 6 months, God willing, we will be at our feast sites, but we don't know. Given our current crisis, we don't know what that may be. No doubt, brethren, I think because of the world's crisis that we are in right now, the days that we've just memorialized have even a greater sense of purpose for us and meaning. The other day online, on the first day of Unleavened Bread, we had some online fellowship. Or I call it the fellowship hour. And it was truly very special. We had numerous connections, even some from California, from Florida tuned in. And it was wonderful to see so many brethren there online talking about their experiences of keeping the Passover at home. And for most of us, it's the first time that ever happened where we kept the Passover in our homes. You know, we were talking about how were we handling the emblems after the service and disposing of those kind of things we were talking about, and washing our spouse's feet. This is the first time I washed my wife's feet in the Passover memorial. So many things that made this Passover a night to be much observed even more special this year. And as we look back again, brethren, as we go back and think about where we've been over the years and keeping these memorials, keeping these feasts, that understanding of what God wants us to learn from these days should be increasing in us. I'd like you to turn with me to Exodus chapter 13, and we're going to look today at the story of Israel and their exodus from Egypt, and what these days meant for them, and how we could look at their story and find such richness of meaning for us today. As we go and look at their story in Exodus 13, we'll take a look there at some verses about them and draw the lessons out. We know, brethren, that all those things, as Paul wrote in to the Corinthians, all the things that happened to them, that is to Israel, are for our examples. They're written for our admonition, for our learning, upon whom the ends of the ages have come, so we can look at them and see lessons for us today. Notice beginning there in verse 3 of Exodus chapter 10. I'm sorry, Exodus chapter 13, verse 3. And Moses said to the people, remember this day in which you went out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. For by strength of hand, the Lord brought you out of this place. No leavened bread shall be eaten. But God wanted Israel to never forget to remember those lessons of their exodus from the bondage of slavery in Egypt. Now, when we look at this and see what does it mean for us, he wants us to remember the lessons of our freedom from the bondage of sin. From the clutches of sin, we've been freed at this time. And every year we see here in these few verses of Exodus 13, they were to keep this memorial at the appointed time. They were to have no leaven among them. They were to eat unleavened bread for the 7 days. And they were to remember and rehearse this story every year and pass this tradition on to their children. That's what we see here in these verses here of Exodus 13. So I've taken the title for the message today right from verse 3, Remember This Day. That's the title of today's message, Remember This Day, because our understanding of this feast needs to increase, and it must always be with us. The lessons that we learn at this feast must always be with us. These are lessons that God wants you to have deeply ingrained in your mind. You must never forget. You must remember. God is telling us here, remember this day. So we're going to see the lessons for us today in these 8 verses here from Exodus 13, from verse 3 through verse 10 there. Packed with meaning for us. Packed with wonderful meaning for us today. We know the story of the Exodus. We know that God did great and miraculous things to free Israel from the clutches of Egypt. All the plagues. The country was devastated. And the Israelites walked out victoriously. The analogies are incredibly meaningful for us. Think, for instance, of the power that God displayed in performing all these miracles for Israel to be freed from Egypt. He's likewise done these things for us, brethren. He's likewise done incredible things for us to bring us to the knowledge of our salvation. Your calling, it's miraculous. Knowing the Word of God and that your mind has been opened up to the understanding of Scriptures and see the plan of God in the Scriptures. Be able to keep these days again helps our understanding of what God is trying always to tell us. This is a treasure that we have, this wonderful knowledge that we have, a special treasure. And they, Israel, did this special service, as we see in their story in Exodus chapter 12, right before they did this special service of sacrificing a lamb and taking the blood of that lamb and putting it over the doorposts. And we know what that represented for them. That was a sign to God that they would be spared. They would be spared from death. And we could look at that and say, that is the sign for us that we memorialized the other night. We took those emblems of Christ's blood and his body. We took those, and they represent, the blood represents the blood on really the doorpost of our hearts. Where we, by that blood, have been saved from death, like they were saved from the bondage of Egypt. We've been saved from the bondage of sin and the wages of sin, which is death. We've been saved from that. So let's look at verse 3 again. And Moses said to the people, remember, remember this day in which you went out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. For by strength of hand, the Lord brought you out of this place. By strength of hand is the working of God's mighty power. God drew them to himself by his mighty power, brought them out of Egypt, drew them to himself. In the same way, brethren, God by his power has drawn us to him. Jesus Christ said, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. That is John 6:44. a memory verse for us. It tells us that it is God's will to bring us out of this world and bring us into this marvelous calling that we have. The power of God has worked. What a marvelous thing that God has done for us and for really the whole world, that he so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And we believe in him. We believe in that sacrifice. We have faith in that sacrifice, that it was done on our behalf to free us. Israel was freed from slavery that day. But God said, remember this day as they were walking out of Egypt. Remember, we are freed from death by Christ. From the slavery of sin, we're freed. All the plagues that fell on them, on Egypt, culminated, as we know, in the plague of the firstborn, where the firstborn of all of Egypt, both man and beast, were dead, slain, killed. What did God do for us? He sent his only Son, who was manifested in the flesh, which is like in type to Egypt losing their firstborn. God gave up his Son for us. What a moment that is, that God did this for us. What a moment that sacrifice of Jesus Christ is. In fact, the entire plan of God's salvation depends on that event. Our salvation is entirely planned on that event, which was planned before the foundation of the world. So when you think about the magnitude of that, and how God throughout time has planned for this to come. You remember when Christ was in his ministry, foretelling numerous times of his coming death, where all the prophets told of the death of Jesus Christ, where the entire sacrificial system of Israel pointed to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, that one event in the plan of God, which is our salvation, planned from the foundation of the world. How strong God is. So when we look at Exodus 13 and verse 3, it says, for by strength of hand the Lord brought you out of this place. And God has done this marvelous work for us by the strength of his hand. How strong he must be to bring this to pass. Because now our deliverance, brethren, is complete. We are delivered. And now what are we to do? We are to turn from sin and believe in that sacrifice. And as represented in this Feast of Unleavened Bread, we are to eat the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. As God tells Israel here, to eat unleavened bread for 7 days. Well, that's a very strange custom in our world today. We eat unleavened bread for 7 days. We take out leavening from our homes. Yet this is what we do to picture lessons God wants us to deeply understand. Getting out the leaven. What does that picture for us? Pictures the work of taking sin out of our lives. You know, we plan ahead for the holy days coming up. In our house, we have a little leaven pile, I'll call it, on our kitchen table. All the leaven goes there for several weeks before the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And there, that little pile gets smaller and smaller until the feast, before the feast begins, it disappears completely, gets thrown out, whatever's left. And then during the feast, we keep the leaven out. We take it out and keep it out and eat the unleavened bread, which represents putting in ourselves the life of God. All of this pictures for us lessons that God wants us to deeply understand, brethren. Taking the sin out, keeping it out, that's overcoming. And how do we overcome? With the life of God in us, that unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So let's look at verse 4 now of Exodus 13. On this day, it says, you are going out in the month of Abib. This again begins the holy day cycle again. And it shall be, verse 5, when the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, which he swore to your fathers to give you, a land flowing with milk and honey, what will they do? What were they to do? That you shall keep this service in this month. Israel was to remember. This was their national deliverance. This was their birth as a nation. And we, likewise, brethren, are freed from sin. And we also need to remember what God has done for us. They came into the land flowing with milk and honey. And that land would sustain them with all they needed. All their physical sustenance would come from the land, all their food. And God would give them rain in its due season. And there they would be sustained. And now we've come into the land, this good land, which God has given us. Being freed from sin, now coming into this good land of living this way of life. And our sustenance is supplied by the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Those things sustain us, that unleavened bread of sincerity and truth, which is the living Word of God that we eat, figuratively eat, take it in, make it live within us. We'll never lack if we do these things. Verse 6, Moses writes 7 days, verse 6, you shall eat unleavened bread, and on the seventh day there shall be a feast to the Lord. Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and no leavened bread shall be seen among you, nor shall leaven be seen in all of your quarters. Picturing again Israel's departure from sin, getting leaven out. It pictures for us the departure from sin. If you look over in Exodus chapter 12, you can see how this came about, where Israel was eating unleavened bread. How did this come about? You see it in verse 33 of Exodus 12, where we see there in verse 33 of Exodus 12, the Egyptians urged the people, you know, get out, that they might send them out of the land, for they said, we will be all dead. You know, their firstborn had just died. And they urged the people, get out. And so what did they do? Verse 34, they took their dough before it was leavened, having their kneading bowls bound up on their shoulders. So if you do your own bread at home and you make your starter dough, if you do that, you put it out on the counter and let it kind of breathe in the air. And there's yeast in the air. But they had it bound up in their clothes, they had it bound up, so it wasn't leavened, bound up in there. And then verse 37 of Exodus 12 says, they journeyed from Ramses to Succoth, about 600,000 men on foot besides the children. A mixed multitude, it says, went up, verse 38, and a great deal of livestock, flocks and herds. And notice verse 39. And in their haste to leave, as they were leaving, they baked unleavened cakes of dough, which they had brought out of Egypt. For it was not leavened. That dough that they had bound up, now they needed to bake it. And so they did, as they were leaving. They baked it, and that became their sustenance, their food, for the next 7 days. As we see how God caused all of this to come about, to teach us these very profound lessons. They ate that unleavened bread for 7 days. And they were to eat it afterward every year as this feast was recalled again and again, remembering their deliverance from Egypt. And we, brethren, eat this unleavened bread now, symbolizing putting in the life of Christ into every aspect of our lives. That's what we're doing symbolically when we eat that bread, what Jesus Christ called himself, the bread of life. I'm the bread of life, he said. So we eat that bread, that living bread. He says, that one may eat of this bread and not die. That's all from John chapter 6, which we covered a couple weeks ago regarding the bread and its meaning. He is our living bread, and if we eat that bread, we will have the life of Christ in us. As Paul said, it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. That's the famous verse, Galatians 2:20, beautiful verse showing Paul had the life of Christ in us, and he's described it for us there. And our work, brethren, of putting sin out and putting on Christ, how long are we supposed to do that? For the rest of our lives. A complete lifetime of work to put sin out, keep it out, overcome it, and put God's life in us every day of our lives. So we, for 7 days, rehearse this lesson now, the same lesson God wants us to deeply understand and receive. In keeping this feast, God reminds us of the profound importance of doing the spiritual work of overcoming. And then verse 8 now of Exodus 13, and you shall tell your son in that day, tell him, tell your son, this is done because of what the Lord did for me when I came up out of Egypt. You know, one of our cherished traditions at the night to be much observed is telling our personal stories of salvation. We talk about how we came into the church, what God did in our lives to bring us into the faith. You've had those stories, and the night to be observed is a wonderful time to tell those stories, remembering what God did for you when you came up out of Egypt or sin. The other day on our phone hookup, webcast hookup during our fellowship hour, we were seeing some families there with their children on the camera. It was so good to see them. The kids were all waving. It was so wonderful to see. And the parents were reliving or telling us their experience of keeping the Passover at home. And their children were hearing these things. And some of the children we understood saw their parents doing these things on that night of the feast or the Passover. And this is like a way of telling them. But we're also, brethren, to tell the world about our salvation. We are, as Israel was told when they came up out of Egypt, to tell your son about this. We're also to tell the world by our example, by what we do and what we say. You know, there will come a time, brethren, I am certain that the world's religions will have no more answers for people who are really looking for truth. They want to know, and the world is falling apart, and they don't understand what's going on. Where will the truth be? It will be living in you. If you're eating this bread, this unleavened bread of sincerity and truth, this is where the life of God will be. This is where the answers will be, so that we can tell the world that day, in those days. Notice in verse 9, it shall be a sign to you on your hand and as a memorial between your eyes, that the Lord's law may be in your mouth. For with a strong hand the Lord brought you out of Egypt. You shall therefore, verse 10, keep this ordinance in its season from year to year. Bind it on your hand. Keep it there right between your eyes so you will always see it, that it really means for us to put the word of God in our minds and having it like written right on our right hand, that everything we do, we consider the word of God or think about the word of God and how it applies to us and what we should do. Now let's come now to 1 Peter. Let's go over to 1 Peter and we see some things here in 1 Peter as we kind of wrap this message up with some verses here in 1 Peter telling us what this feast means for us now. We cannot turn back now, brethren, to the world. We cannot go back, and we know what the children of Israel did. They didn't remember. God told them, remember this day. They didn't remember. He wants us to remember this day. Don't forget. Keep these lessons in mind. Don't turn back to the world. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 1 and notice verse 13. Verse 1, 1 Peter 1. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to your former lusts, not going back as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, be holy in all manner of conduct, because as it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Be like God. Have that life of God in us. In verse 18 of 1 Peter there, 1 Peter 1, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct, but, verse 19, with the precious blood of Christ, which we memorialized the other day in the Passover, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who was indeed foreordained before the foundation of the world. God planned this, and by his great power, he has brought it about and made this salvation known to us. Brethren, I think we could see the wonderful lessons there are in what God has done for us. What he has done for us, that he has brought us out and brought us into this good place. And now he is leading us by his Spirit that is in us and in the church. We are understand, brethren, that great and mighty things have been done for us. One more verse. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. If Jerry could get that one up, I had that a little bit out of order for Jerry, but 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Notice what it says here. His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. His great power through the knowledge of him who's called us by glory and virtue, by which, verse 4 now, 2 Peter 1, verse 4, 2 Peter 1, by which you have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, just as Israel escaped Egypt and the clutches of the world. We've escaped the world, brethren. We've escaped sin and its consequences because of the sacrifice for Jesus Christ. So let us understand these great and mighty works God did for us to redeem us from the bondage of sin, to redeem you from its grips. Keep up this work of overcoming. Put sin out of your life and take in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Indeed, remember this day. Never forget the lessons of this feast.